Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Psalm 46, tremendous verse 1. All 11 verses are really good. And I want to talk about it a little bit tonight. Hopefully God will strengthen us in the journey. I think one thing that I'm guilty of, and I suppose most of us are, at times in our life, maybe not constant all the time, but I think there are moments in most all of our lives when just for the moment, we kind of forget that we're God's child. He's our Father. He's watching over us. He's interested in us to the point that He said, not even a hair falls from your head without me taking knowledge of that. God is not a hair counter. God is just so personally interested in everybody that He even knows such a small, insignificant thing as a hair falling. Some of us kept Him quite busy with that in the recent years. But He said, I'm concerned for you. He said, I know your breath. And yet this God that is so conscious of us, so concerned for us, and loves us so much that has saved us and redeemed us. Church, this thing of salvation didn't end when you got saved. It just started. I said, this thing of salvation didn't end when you got saved. It just started. Too many people act like it all ended right there. Well, I've got that saved, got that all settled now. I'm going to heaven now, so everything's fine. All that is true, but it's also true that that's just the beginning of our walk with God and the Christian experience that we can have with Him that'll ultimately end up in the city of God. So I think many times we forget for the moment that we really are God's child. He's really concerned about us. I think sometimes we underestimate His power and His ability to take care of us and to watch over us and to meet every need. I love to read the challenging stories in the Word of God, don't you? I love to read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those three men had made up their mind before they ever went down to the king's music fest. They'd made up their mind before they ever went down there. We're not bound to that idol. We serve the true and living God. We don't serve some idol made out of gold. Don't care if it is big and impressive. They went down there to stand. They paid a price for that. They heated the furnace up hotter than it was. Some of the men died trying to get it hotter. And they threw these men into there, bound up and tied. And God was in there waiting on them. And didn't burn anything but the ropes loose. After a while, the king said, see what's going on in there. Well, the guys came back pale face. He said, didn't we throw three in there? He said, yep, three. He said, there's four in there now. And one of them, they're walking around in there. One of them looks like the Son of God. You know why it looked like him? Because that was him. Somebody said, when the three came out, where is God? I said, he's still in the fire, waiting for the next crowd that comes in there. But many times we forget that the God of the Bible is the God that we have today. He said, I'm an unchanging God. There's not even a shadow of variableness in me. So whatever He has been, any chapter or book or place in the Word of God that you want to read, and God reveals Himself to us through His written Word, any kind of God He has ever been, I want you to know tonight He still is. 100% hadn't lost anything whatsoever. Some years ago, some men actually began to pass a proclamation around that God was dead. Well, I just talked to him a little while ago. He's feeling pretty good when I talked to him. God isn't dead, but some of these people are dead that think they know Him. I think that's where the problem is. But I'm going to just talk to us a little bit tonight about our hope and our help and our assurance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and then read. Father, will You anoint me afresh tonight to be an encouragement to the family of God? Would You refresh us in the journey? Would You give us new zeal and new spirit? Will You revive us again that we might glorify and honor You better? We ask You to meet the need of every heart here. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, now that word, don't forget, we run into that a lot lately. What's the word therefore means? It means therefore. What's right up above, we just read it. Because of that, in light of that, we will not fear, though the earth be moved and though the mountain be carried in the midst of the sea. Here the psalmist is being used of the Spirit of God to draw kind of a hypothetical illustration. If things get so bad that the earth is moved and mountains are thrown in the sea and the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling, there is a river. He said, even though all that might happen, we have no reason to fear in the middle of that, for God is our refuge. Verse 4, there's a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That word Selah there, I know you understand, but it's good just to notice that, is not a part of the inspired scripture. That's placed there. It's a word that means stop and meditate and think about that statement. So the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Just stop and think about that. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And look at this conclusion. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Just stop and think about that. Well, this is a psalm that's just filled with positive statements and encouragements concerning the person and the power of our God. The text gives us comfort, inspiration, courage, and comfort and confidence, all because of the God we know, both for the heart and for the soul. Three basic truths are in this psalm. First, there's the rich promise from God. There's the righteous pledge from God. When God says he'll do something, you can take it to the bank. He can't lie. There's the ready proclamation of what he will do. Three things I want you to see primarily out of verse 1. First of all, the protection of God's promise. God is our refuge. I thought about that word refuge. I thought I knew what it meant, but I thought I'd just take the time to see what Mr. Webster said it meant. He says it's shelter or protection from danger or distress. I'm glad God's our refuge. A place that provides protection. Something or someone to which we can turn to in difficulty. God is our refuge. It's the loving care of God, the place of safety and security is where we can run to in our times of danger, distress, doubt, and problems in this world. Our God has promised to be with us and never to leave us. What a promise that is. You know, I've had people dear to me come, spend some time with us here, and then they would have to leave, go back to their home and back to their ministry and their work. Many times I've gone to the airport, sometimes watch them drive away in the car, and we'd wave goodbye, and sometimes it's months and sometimes years before we have the privilege of seeing each other again, and we miss them. But aren't you glad from the moment you said yes to the Spirit of God, and the Holy Ghost came into your body and took up an abode and changed you from the inside and still working on the outside, and he said, I'm not ever leaving. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm going with you all the way to the end of this world, of this age. And I'm glad we have a promise like that from a God like that, aren't you? So we have a refuge to which we can go. He's a never-failing refuge. The Lord has promised to go before us, to go behind us, to watch our back. There's some examples of how God has done this in the Word of God, how he's been the refuge and the place of protection. He upheld Joseph in the king's palace. Whenever he was there, and of course you remember that long story, had started out by his brothers hating him and decided they're going to kill him, and then they threw him in the pit, and he was sold to traitors, and they made a slave out of him, wound up in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph and then lied about him, had him put in prison, and just go on and on and on. It's just a challenging story to read the life of Joseph, and yet God was with him every second of that trip and that journey, came through on the other side, made him in charge of everything Potiphar had and all that was in Egypt, and became the physical salvation of his dad and his brothers in a time of famine. Now, that didn't mean Joseph didn't have some difficulty along the way. I'm sure he had some hard moments, some difficult moments, some lonely moments in all that. In the prison, for example, when he didn't need to be there, wasn't deserving to be there. And yet, God never forsook him and stood with him through all the issues of his life, and so will he you. He protected Daniel in the lion's den. I'm glad that Daniel had a testimony of his communion with God. May God help us to learn from that and have some kind of a regularity in our worship of God. There are many people think worship of God happens at 4520 Old Hollow Road. That's where you worship God. No, this is just one of the places you worship God. You ought to worship God in your car, worship God in your house, worship God in the woods, worship God in the grocery store. Now, when you get to run them down the aisle doing like this, people will look at you funny, but there's a time and a place for that. But God's deserving of our praise anytime, anywhere, all the time. And I'm glad we can do that. And so Daniel was the kind of man that he went to his window and turned toward Israel and toward Jerusalem, rather, and put the window open and prayed three times every day, as regular as a clockwork. They knew if they had any accusation to bring against Daniel, it'd be concerning his Christianity or his religion, if you want to use that word, and his God. So they brought that, said, you can't pray in anybody's name but the king. Notice Daniel didn't pray any more or any less. He just prayed the same. He was a consistent Christian. That consistency had him thrown into the lion's den. Brother Roloff said it smelled so much like vegetation that the animals couldn't eat him. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't think it is. I think it's just what God said. God shut the mouths of the lions, took away their appetite, or at least refused to let them eat those three boys. And they, David, I got three Hebrew children in the lion's den. David in the lion's den. And the Bible said the next morning, king came out there and he was scared to death and worried. Daniel slept more in the lion's den than the king did in the palace. He said, old Daniel, he said, good morning, king, how are you? And he had him brought out, and the men that threw him in, and the lions ate them. They were hungry. So we see him stood with Daniel, stood with the three Hebrew children. He stood with Paul as he went through the trials and the troubles and the difficulties he went through in being a pioneer, missionary, and evangelist. He's a place of refuge for all saints of God in all dispensations, all periods of time. He is still our refuge. God is our refuge. First of all, he's the protection of God being our refuge. Second, the power of God is pledged. He said, God is our strength. Where do we get our strength to serve God? None of us are strong enough to do it in our own. I think that's one thing that discourages people from doing the things God would have them to do. They look at it like, I have to do it. In my own strength, my own ability, I have to get that done somehow. And you can't do it in your own strength. If it did do it in physical strength, it wouldn't bring any honor to God. He's due the glory for it. And we have the privilege of working with the power of God. God is our strength. All power, Jesus said, in heaven, earth, are mine. And he offers that to us to work with that. Turn over to the book of Matthew right quick. Keep your place marked. We'll come right back in a minute. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven, in earth. All power is given to me. Who has all the power? Jesus does. All right, the very next verse, we got a therefore coming up again. Go ye therefore in what? All this power that Jesus has, it belongs to him in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way to the end of the world or end of this age. Now, how are we going to get that done? With the power that's at God's disposal. He said, all power is given to me. I want you to go in that power. Therefore, in that power, the anointing from God to do what needs to be done. So he's not only our refuge, but he's our power. He gave Noah that power and his three boys to build an ark I don't know whether they had any plans for it or not. Joseph had power to overcome evil whenever Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and he had power to resist her. Even though he went to prison for it, he paid the price, but he stood faithful. Moses had the power to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let the people of God go, and led them almost to the promised land. Somebody said he should have hit the children of Israel with the Ten Commandments instead of throwing them down. But he was used of God to do such a great job in leading the people out. David had power to overcome the giant. That's one of the most fascinating stories in the Word of God. Here's a young boy, probably in his teens, And all he's familiar with is watching over sheep, keeping them, fighting off wolves and animals that would be a danger to the sheep. And he has a sling that he uses, not a slingshot, but a sling. It slings it round and round and lets go of one end of the little string or whatever and lets the rock go. That's all he had. No, excuse me. That wasn't all he had. That's just all you could see that he had. But what you couldn't see was God. God and his power was with him. King said, if you're going out there anyway, David, put my armor on. Don't go out there. He'll kill you. He put it on. I can just see that. It'd be like me putting on a suit or something about 4 or 5 sizes too big for me. He said, I'll get killed with this. I'm not proving. Took it off and took what he had, a sling, a rock, and God. Don't forget the end God. And the giant cussing and swearing and carrying on, so I'll feed your flesh to the birds. And while he's doing all that mouthing off out there, David's just picking his stones out, getting them ready, putting them in a sling, wound that thing up, and God said, let it go, David. And when he did, hit the jaw right in the forehead, fell, as we say in the country, face foremost. Now that's country language. You have to be from the country to understand that. Fell flat of his face. David went up. He didn't even have a sword. He went up there and took the giant's big old sword, so big he probably had to take 2 hands to hold that thing. Whacked off his head and come running back down the valley, hollering, looky here, looky here, looky here, what I've got. And the Philistines ran, scared the daylights out. Let me tell you something. It wasn't David. It wasn't his crack shot with a sling. It was God that went with David to help him. You do what you can with what you've got, and it'd be amazing how God will give you something you don't have. And what a testimony of God's ability to give power and strength when it's needed. He gave power to Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and so many other cases we could talk about here. But God's power is unlimited power. It's available power. So I'm glad we have the presence of God. We have a source. We have a refuge to go to. We have power that God will give us to use in serving him. You know, if we just pause a second before we leave that thought, we're talking about revival right much. And we're praying for revival. I've had the privilege to be in a little bit of revival in my lifetime. And I've seen God do some very unusual and interesting things. And thing that I miss today, probably as much as anything else in the ministry, is that old-time convicting, converting power of the Holy Ghost of God. Jim Finkhauser gave testimony the first time he walked in this building. Something got a hold of him and he never got loose. I know what it was. It wasn't Joe Myers. It was the Holy Ghost of God reached over and grabbed that boy and began to arrest his soul. Myers and Shelby Tillia here tonight told about driving up this highway going to Pilot Mountain one Sunday. They had one child at that time, and I believe Shelby said something like this, if I remember the story right. Myers, we need to get this our child in church. I believe that one would be a good one to go to. They got saved. They've been serving God the rest of their lives. I like it when people get to Cain Heppich. They come to church and they just can't stand it. They got to get right with God. Genevieve Roberts, this Bible heart over here, is given in her memory. Some of our bus workers went by their house, happened to be a mobile home in a trailer park years ago with a bus. And the kids were allowed to ride the bus. And the bus workers homed in on Paul and Genevieve. Later, one Sunday morning, I came to church back then. Dorcas could drive okay, and she'd bring the car with the kids later. I'd come up early in the morning, usually wind up staying later when everybody left. And that morning, I was here about 8 or 8:30, and somebody said, have you seen Genevieve? I said, no, not yet. She says, well, she's up in the auditorium. She wants to talk to you. So I came over to the auditorium. She's sitting out here, and I said, Genevieve, you want to see me? She said, I sure do. And she was just praising God and weeping. She said, I got saved this morning at 3 o'clock beside my bed. And I want you to know it. I want this church to know it. And now she's in glory because of that. You know, there's no explanation for that kind of stuff. You can't manufacture that. There's not a school, a university, or a college anywhere that can produce that. That's nothing but the power of Almighty God. I'm thinking one night, man, I don't even know his real name. All he knew was Red Bowles. I met him when I was unsaved. He was unsaved. He's flagman at the racetrack at Bowman Gray. I got saved. We didn't know how to lead anybody to Christ, but we'd get everybody we could and talk to them about getting saved, and they wanted to get saved, we'd take them to Zeno's house. And later he began to teach us how to do that. I thought, man, I bet he's glad we finally learned that. But we picked him up at the gate when the race was over one night, so, Ray, let's go eat something. And we got to talking to him, and I'm talking about a man that had been hard as nails, come through one of the toughest parts of World War II, and had some baggage, to say the least. But that night, God arrested that old boy's heart, and he began to weep, and he said, if God would forgive the likes of me and save me, I sure would accept him as my Savior. I said, he will. Let's go to Zeno's house. And so off we went to old Zeno's house, and he told him how to be saved, and he got saved. I'm talking about that kind of power. And one of the church you're sitting in right now is what it is because we've had that kind of power in yesteryear. We have power that God is blessing us today. Don't mean to imply that. He's blessed us. It's good. I wouldn't trade this church for most churches I know anyway. I thank God for the church we have. But we don't have that strong movement of conviction like we once did. But God hadn't changed. He's the same today he was back then. And I believe with all my heart we can see those days again if the people of God hunger for it. You've got to hunger for it. You can't sing it up. You can't preach it up. It has to be hungered for and prayed down. God said, I'll pour water on he that is thirsty. He won't waste it on somebody that's not thirsty. If a church ever gets hungry for God to move again, some years ago I was in a revival meeting of a church in Wilkesboro area. And we had a pretty good meeting Monday night. Tuesday night got real good, and a whole bunch of the teenagers in that church got right with God. They took it back to school with them the next day. Back then, the principals would allow them just to whatever they want to do. They just shut the school down, went to the auditorium, and they were testifying, and kids were getting right at the school. That night, they brought half the class with them back to the church, and a whole bunch of them. I think that one night, there's almost 30 people saved in that one night, teenagers. And as a result of that, then mom and dad started getting right. And grandma and grandpa started getting right. And on with the story. You know, there's no explanation for things like that. That's no preacher can take credit for that. That's just God. All preachers, I guess, have preached the same outline maybe more than once. Maybe God gave it to you at one place. And maybe some years later, you may feel led to preach that same subject again. I remember one I had years ago. I preached here at Kerwin back in the early 70s. And man, God blessed and flooded the altar. And we were looking through some of the old bulletins recently, old newsletters. And Sunday after Sunday, 25 were saved, 15 were saved, 13 were saved, 20 were saved, 15 were saved. I mean, just week after week after week, stuff like that was going on. And I just think back on that, and I guess you just remember what we're missing today. Well, you know, let's don't get content with vacant altars. Let's don't get content with non-participating invitations. I believe we need to get back to praying down this power from Almighty God. That again, he'd go and speak to people. I expect everybody in this building tonight has got somebody that's not right with God, that's heavy on your heart. But you know, they may not let you in. They may slam the door in our face. They may refuse to listen to us. But I'm going to tell you from experience, you can't shut the Holy Ghost out. He woke me up early in the morning, standing at the foot of my bed, dragging me across hell and telling me I'm going if I don't get something done about that. That's the first time in my life I really realized I was going to hell, and I was 19 years old. I was raised in a Baptist church. It wasn't the preacher's fault. God just never convinced me of that. But boy, I got lost that night, and I got found before the next night. You know, you're not going to get saved till you realize you're lost. And that's where we're missing a lot today. Well, I don't mean to get off on that, but I thank God that we have the promise of God's power to help us. And let's cash in on that. We have his refuge and we have his power. Then thirdly, there's the presence of God's proclamation. He said a very present help in trouble. Very present help. God is omniscient, all-knowing God. I know that's a truth. I accept it as a truth. I believe it with all my heart. But my little old brain just can't comprehend that, though I know it's true. How that God could sit on the circle of the earth or anywhere else he wants to sit. Somebody asked a kid one time, said, where'd God come from anyway? He said, anywhere he wanted to. And that's exactly where he come from, anywhere he wanted to come from. He always has been. But to think about the greatness of God and God's ability to be everywhere at once. You know, sometimes when he's blessing us, we're just having a sweet time with him. You know, for a moment we forget we're not the only child he has. You know, right at that moment, you start to think like that. Boy, God loves me. Man, this is good. God just spending the day with me. Well, isn't it amazing how he can do that with you and 10,000 or 10 million at the same time? What a God. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. The things that we think are hidden and nobody knows about it, oh, he's got it. He knows about it. When Achan covered up the Babylonian garments and the gold and the silver up under his tent and put his rug bat over it and stepped out and looked left, looked right, but he didn't look up. He said, I made it. I got by with it. God said, oh, no, you didn't, son. And that God was same to then, same today, omniscient, all-knowing, and because of that, he can be our help in the time of trouble. Lord, be with us at all places, all times, all circumstances. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Some examples of that are Peter and John delivered from the prison. When Paul was delivered from the shipwreck and the ocean and all that was going on there, and the viper came out of the fire and bit him that he's supposed to fall down dead. He just shook it off back in the fire. You know what that's all about? That's God being with those men at that time. Story we've read about John Bunyan tells us how God blessed him and used him in such a great way to bring freedom to the preaching to many that day, and wrote one of the next best writings to God's Word, Pilgrim's Progress. I read once where, I don't see how you could do that, but if you're old enough, you remember the milk bottles, the glass bottles, they're reusable, and they had a little paper like cardboard, like a stopper that stuck in the top of it, and then a paper thing over that to keep the milk from coming out. Well, when you pull that little thing off the top, it's got milk on the bottom. If you're laying around a while, penicillin grows on it. And so he was taking a straw, so an article I read, and was writing in those milk stoppers, Pilgrim's Progress. What a man he was. But you know, God was with him, and God knew right where he was at all times. I'm sure he must have felt forsaken. Could you try to imagine between now and daylight, law enforcement officers knock on your door, drag you out of the house, and stick you in the jail before the sun comes up tomorrow, and you're not guilty, you're falsely accused, it's trumped up charges, or whatever else, or maybe your freedom as a Christian has been questioned. Could you try to imagine how you'd feel sitting down there on a bunk with everything that you can imagine that's inside of a jail? Could you try to imagine that? I really can't. I thank God I can't. I've been in and out of there a whole lot of times, but I thank God I come out the same day I went in. And yet, God was with him. He saw him through all of that. He was with Livingston in Africa. He was with Judson in India, Yates in China. And he'll be with us. Where we are, whatever we're doing, our God is able. What a verse it is. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in the time of trouble. If you live very long, you're going to find a time of trouble. I expect most of you already found it. And there's no better place to run than the refuge of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Casting all of our care upon Him, knowing that He cares for us. That word casting, I've heard people say, well, I prayed about it, and it come right back. Of course it did. That's why God used the word casting instead of cast. If you could cast it one time and that take care of it, he wouldn't have put a plural form of it. He'd have said, cast all of your care upon Christ. He said, casting means it'll come back, but cast it again. Comes back again, cast it again. Every time it comes, keep unloading, keep casting it. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.